So let's walk through the typical organ offer process.
So typically we'll be going about our business and we'll get a page, and it's from the Organ Procurement Agency in here in North Carolina, Carolina Donor Services, and they'll call us and tell us they have there's a donor that's available and that our patient is first up on the list. Whoever that patient may be is first up in line for this kidney. Oftentimes they've waited 4, 5, 6 years possibly, you know, anywhere from typically it's about 3 to 5 years here in our region on the deceased donor wait list. They'll have been waiting that long to get this phone call. And so first we'll get the call from the organ procurement organization, and they'll describe the donor, give us some background about their medical history, how they're doing now, how their kidney function is, how their other organ functions are. And at that point, typically we'll do a little bit more research into the donor, make sure there's no infectious history because we don't want to transmit anything from donor to recipient. So we make sure there's no infections, there's no cancers, they have good medical health. We check all their other labs. And when all of that checks out, we then will call one of our coordinators, one of our nurse coordinators will call the patient and let them know that there's a potential kidney available. And at that point, usually they're told to pack an overnight bag and get into the hospital as quickly as they can.
An exciting moment. How do you know that somebody is brain dead? How is someone who has decided to become a donor at the time of their death, how can they be sure that their organs won't be taken before the time has really come? How do you, as a group of physicians, decide that issue?
That's a great question, and actually we get that question quite often, not just from patients, but I'll get it just in my daily life, people asking how they want to part. They think donation's a fabulous thing, but they're concerned that somehow being a donor might alter the way they're taken care of at the end of life. The two processes are very separate. There's a team that's taking care of a patient, and when that patient is finally, when all their medical care is exhausted and they're declared brain dead, only at that point would the organ procurement organizations be contacted and the patient be evaluated for being a donor. And typically, to be declared brain dead, there's several different kind of tests they can use. One is a breathing test. They'll take the patient off the ventilator and make sure they're not breathing at all spontaneously. They can look at their cerebral or their brain perfusion. And several other tests that can indicate with clarity that there's no brain activity and that the patient is indeed brain dead before the organ offers or that process even gets started.
So it's really two separable teams, the team taking care of the patient who then has to participate in the process of declaring a person brain dead, and then a very different group who then takes over and is there to make sure that organs that are harvested are well cared for. So there's no conflict of, oh, I want to speed this process up.
No, exactly. And that's, I think we take great care to sort of separate those two activities. Another team would take care of the patient to their fullest capacity, and only when they reach the point of being brain dead would they approach the family, change gears, and inquire to see if they would be interested in donation. And oftentimes, the patients themselves have made that decision for their family on their driver's license or in some other capacity.
There is this concern that there are kidneys and other organs that are available that are not being used. So the person has gone through the whole process that you've just described. They've signed up on their driver's license to be an organ donor. The family has provided consent again that the person who is now brain dead should donate and could donate, and then sometimes those organs are not used. How does that happen?
It does happen occasionally, and part of that is just the vetting of the organ or just looking into the quality of the organ. And once in a great while, we'll have a donor where, due to their other medical disease or they may even have had kidney disease, we won't discover that until after the time of their death. We'll look at either a biopsy or some of their other renal function parameters. They could be declared not a good candidate for donation in the sense that kidney wouldn't give the recipient the longevity they were looking for. other options, other reasons that sometimes organs are turned down would be for infectious causes or if a malignancy was discovered at the time of the organ recovery. Any of those cases, we try to be very cautious in the type of organ we put in, especially when we think of it from the perspective of this patient who's going to be getting a transplant, is going to be immunosuppressed and very susceptible to infections and other such things. So we'll be very cautious if there's any indication that the organ that we would be bringing in would have any complications.
So because you want to make sure that the person has the best chance of having that kidney work for a long time. So walk me through the idea now that the recipient has been called. They're coming in to the emergency room with their bag, hoping to get a kidney. They've been waiting on the wait list for years and years. They're in the emergency room. The hope, of course, for that person is that they're about to get a kidney. What can happen?
So when they come in, they're evaluated by both the medical and the surgical team. Again, sort of redoing, in a shorter version, the evaluation of them as an immediate candidate for transplant. So medically, things that we look at are, have they had recent infection? Have they been in the hospital recently? How is their cardiovascular health? You know, do they have active chest pain? Do they have a fever? Things that would prevent them from going to the operating room from a medical perspective, something that would put them at high risk for complications around the setting of anesthesia with surgery, as well as the setting of the profound amount of suppression of their immune system that we do at the time of the kidney transplant. So we look at all those things. We get lab work to look for any abnormalities that would be unexpected in their labs. We do chest x-rays, look for any infection in the chest, things like that, prior to saying, yes, we're okay medically with them going to surgery. You know, do they need dialysis before they go to surgery? We look at all those things sort of as this is going on. The other thing that we do is we do what's called a cross match. So we test the recipient's blood to see if they have any antibodies that would cause rejection of that donor kidney. We have all that information in the database, but those things can change over time. So there's still the possibility that at the last minute, if the kidney is not a good match for that recipient, that would be another reason potentially why they could not get that kidney.
The hope, of course, is that everything is going to go well. They get rolled to the OR for this exciting moment of finally getting a new kidney, a second chance.